You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Let's get some context on a surprise economic stimulus from China today. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. China's central bank this morning surprised market players by dropping two key interest rates to stimulate the economy there. That and talk of more aggressive stimulus in Europe moved markets, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average rising about 0.9% in early trading. On Fridays, we consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So the economy in China, I mean, we keep talking about this, you and I, has been comparatively lethargic for like a year now. Finally, two key interest rates get lowered.
Yeah, this is actually, it's a pretty big deal. And the idea, of course, is to try and stimulate credit, make it a little bit cheaper to borrow. But note, it's just a little bit. This is not the huge stimulus that economists have been clamoring for.
There's some ironies there today, because also commentators in China today are angry at the credit rating agency S&P for what? Warning about the quality of credit there?
Well, that's right. S&P put out a report where they said that half of the government debt in China has characteristics of junk. And they're absolutely furious. Of course, it's true. And the Chinese government is aware of that. That's one of the reasons they're treading so softly with stimulus. It's not necessarily the best idea to encourage credit creation when that credit is already pretty shoddy.
Chris, briefly here, we have the head of the European Central Bank saying he's willing to, quote, step up the pressure to stimulate Euro countries.
Well, that's right. And the market is looking at that as a promise that he'll do what he can to get true quantitative easing going. It's really giving a boost to peripheral Europe this morning.
Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you. Student loan debt has topped $1 trillion in the U.S. That is trillion with a T. Less than 10% of that is private debt, i.e. not through the federal government. Those private lenders have been pressured to work with struggling borrowers to modify the terms. Now, it seems Wells Fargo has heard some of that message. They've launched a loan modification program for some borrowers. Keyword there is some. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson explains.
The program will cut interest rates for less than 1% of the bank's student borrowers. In other words, it's tiny. But Wells Fargo's John Rasmussen says 98% of their borrowers are current on their loans.
This program is designed for those situations that were unforeseen,
like a big medical bill or lost job. And he says it's smart business, too. If the bank helps borrowers through a rough patch, they can borrow more down the road.
Then they start forming families and buy cars and start businesses and buying homes and investing. We want to be there all the way through that life cycle.
Kevin Jakes, a professor at Baldwin Wallace College, sees some other reasons, too.
There's good PR to be had from this for them, and it's also a financial decision in the sense that they're hopeful of getting back more of the principal and interest as opposed to having students default on loans.
Jake says he wouldn't be surprised if other banks follow suit. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Schools are gathering data on kids, and as student databases grow, so does the ability of technology to perhaps predict how or what a kid might do next. Marketplace's Adrian Hill has been looking at ways student data is being used to try to see into the future to predict and change, for instance, school attendance. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, David.
So we know that companies are out there trying to predict our behavior, but schools?
Well, pretty much, David, these days where there's data, there seems to be some amount of prediction, and schools have a lot of data. One of the most common ways educators are using this is with what are called early warning systems, and they're basically ways to flag a kid at risk of not completing some major educational milestone, like high school graduation. But there are also companies out there trying to make really specific predictions around attendance and do things like figure out a kid's class attendance and tardies maybe before a kid actually skips class or shows up late.
What's the first clue? The string of Fs they got last semester? I mean, how would it work?
Well, I reached out to a company called Kinvolved, who's working on this. And the first iteration of the idea is actually pretty straightforward. If they have some amount of historical data, they can figure out how a child might act in the future. So if you, David, are always late on Monday morning, the technology could potentially ping you on Sunday night and say, please, David, don't be late this time. Here's Alexandra Meese from Kinvolved. She says they're trying to build a tool that's proactive instead of reactive.
We're reacting and we're providing interventions after the fact, after a student has already missed 18 days of class, but why can't we do that ahead of time and get to that student right away before it's too late?
Attendance rates, David, are one of the most important factors when it comes to school success.
I mean, one question is whether their models will get better as more data is gathered on the students.
And that's one thing Kinvolved says they're working on, is taking other data on a student, like where they live or how they get to school or even health data, and using that data to predict and improve attendance. One example they gave me is a kid who misses school for asthma. And the hope is that their tech could one day flag that kid after just a day or two of being out. And then it would connect that child and their family to an asthma clinic in the neighborhood to get treatment before the kid gets behind.
Marketplace's Adrian Hill, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
We've also been covering criticism that a key banking regulator, the New York Fed, may be too chummy with the Wall Street banks it oversees. The controversy was driven in part by audio tapes secretly recorded at the New York Fed that emerged as part of a wrongful dismissal lawsuit. Now the Federal Reserve in Washington is saying it is launching a wide-ranging self-review of how it polices banks. The New York Fed's president, William Dudley, told Marketplace last month that he was here to help if Congress had questions. Today, Dudley will testify before a Senate Banking Subcommittee on the subject of whether his regulators have become captured by the banks they supervise. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.